first, what year were you born?
1897. Yeah.
Okay, and what was the name of the village that you came from?
Gorna Brezovica.
Is that near Lubanka?
Štivilka Sida.
What city is that near?
Šentjerne.
How about a bigger city?
Well, it was 12. I don't know how many hours it was that you went to Ljubljana.
Okay.
But before you come to Ljubljana, it was Novo Mesto was the highest one, you know, that there was a jail there and a court. If you had any problem, they called you to Novo Mesto.
And this was in Slovenia?
This is in Slovenia, yeah.
So this must have been east of Ljubljana.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And Novo Mesto is that new place, yeah. A new town?
Novo Mesto, yeah. It's a bigger. English. You would say like our village was very small. Mm-hmm. And my father was a policeman in this village. And he announced the news every Sunday morning when the people come to church, and then when they come out, they most of the time the people are gathered outside and discuss the things like about the farm and stuff like that. That's the how it was when I was real young.
That's probably because when you were little, people did not have telephones, right?
No
telephones. We didn't have much.
And my father was very strict. We was afraid, right, of him, you know, to cross him for anything.
You lived inside the village?
Yeah, inside
and
the village.
And your father had a big house?
Our number was 7.
And he had a big house inside the village?
They had a big old house from grandparents. Mm-hmm. And my grandmother lived with us. You know how they had it in Europe. They take care of the old, the family. She didn't go no place, but she had the house was built, there was a half was for a young family, and the other half was for the grandparents. And now, when I remember, was only grandmother.
No grandfather.
Yeah, no grandfather. He died.
You said it was number 7. Do you remember the name of the street?
Yeah. Well, it was no street. It was a village. You know, the house was just
7.
Like that. Yeah, there was no road, no street. We just walk across anybody, like, you know.
Was your father the only policeman in the town?
Yeah, he was a policeman. And we had it about 4 gendarmes. That was all like a German, you see.
Yeah.
You have to speak German.
Well, right? You were pretty close to Austria, weren't you?
Huh?
You were close to Austria, weren't you?
At one time, wasn't your village under Austria, in Austria?
Yeah.
That's right. It was
I come to America in an Austrian passport.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
See?
So actually, when you were born, you were really born in Austria at that time,
yeah.
According to the
yeah, that's
boundaries
right.
Were drawn in history.
That's how it is, my citizenship paper.
Mm-hmm.
They got Austria there. And we was Slovenia, but it was under the Austria Habsburg. And I remember, you know, when in a school, we went to school, and we have to sing patriotic, what do you call it, the mm-hmm. song. About
right.
Our king?
Yeah.
And I still remember how we started. Boko Hrani, Boko Bari, Namce Saria, Josefa.
The king was Franz Joseph, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Now they can't even open the mouth about any king.
And you left your village in what year?
1912.
And before 1912, you had gone to school in the village, right?
Yeah.
You went to a grade school, and they didn't have high school, did they?
No.
So you finished grade school?
Yeah.
And you were working at home?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then why did your parents decide to send you to America?
I was a
fourth
of the family.
And
you know.
How many brothers and sisters did you have?
My brothers was 11 of us all.
You were the fourth.
I was the fourth born because one girl died and, when she was a baby.
Carl's the oldest brother?
No, Ignatz is the oldest.
Okay.
Then was Mara.
Okay.
Second.
Uh-huh.
Then it was Frances, and she died, and then I come, and they gave me the same name.
So there were two Franceses.
Two Franceses. Yeah. And my mother was Frances.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Francesca, actually.
Francesca, right.
The grandmother that lived with you, was that your father's mother? Or
yeah, my father's mother.
Now, your father's mother, was she from that village also?
Yeah.
And your father was born in that village?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And your mother, did she come from that village too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we had her mother very close, like another little farm.
Mm-hmm.
She lived there, and she come, you know, together to come pretty near every day, you know, she walked.
So in 1912, you were 15 years old.
Yeah, and then my mother's brother, the youngest brother, was here in the United States. And they was married, I don't know how many years.
What was his name?
Ignatz Bosnick.
He was in Cleveland already?
Yeah.
He had that saloon on, what, 80th and Union or something?
Yeah, yeah, that's
okay.
Right. And he write to my mother once he know, you know, that how many children, you know, she has. So he write that sent him one girl that she gonna help him in a, like a housework.
Yeah.
Here in America. And my, the oldest sister, she was that age that she could travel already, you know, so she was over 16. But she don't want to come because my mother's sister take her to a big city, to Ljubljana, when she was married, and she married kind of nice officer, Austrian officer she married, you know. They had a big wedding in our village at the time when she married, because she had that four other officer, they hold a
swords, like the swords, the sabers?
Yeah, you know, through when they
came
from
church. Yeah,
they
go underneath.
Oh, that was...
That must have been in about 1910 or 1908 or 9 when you were about 10 or 11?
Yeah, that's it.
Had you ever been to Lubyanka?
No, nothing before.
So you never really had gone out of the village at all?
Never.
Okay.
Mom, what was your last name in the old country? Francesca what?
Jordan.
And it doesn't sound like a Slovenian name.
No, he wasn't Slovenian. The grandfather wasn't Slovenian.
What was it?
He must have come someplace, either from France. My brother traced him to French Revolution.
Uh-huh. The French Revolution in France.
Yeah, that time. And he had some kind of a... Grandma and it was talking about it, you know, that how my father was a, what you would call him?
Your father?
Spendthrift.
Spendthrift? You mean he spent money as fast as he made it?
Yeah. No, he didn't even made it. His parents made it, and he spent it.
Now, this was your grandfather or your father?
This was my father.
Your father.
And Grandma was telling me that, you know.
Oh, I see.
When we was walking, you know, in a field like that, and she was showing me, she says, this was ours, that was us. I says, well, how's that we don't have it? And she says, because your father spent it.
I did.
See? And then she says, he, you know, he had the year up, they call it there. You know, the man, when the boy is too young to take it over, and there was the law that the oldest son, or any son, as long as they had a son, he takes it over the property. And he was only 18.
Yeah, he inherited everything.
Yeah, so they picked another farmer that he should take...
Watch over
it. And they picked that kind, you know, they take it away from him. Yeah, they
executor,
cheated
him.
Yeah, he was an executor.
Now, what was your mother's last name before she married your father?
Bosnick. See, because, you know, she had a brother over here in America.
So Bosnick and Jordan marry, and then, of course, the children are all Jordan.
Yeah.
Okay, so in other words, so you have two names in Bosnick. Yeah. Now, your mother's family, Bosnick,
yeah.
Were they born in that region in Austria, or did they come from somewhere else?
They come all from there. They was from there.
They were from that area.
Yeah.
So it was your father's family or his father that came from, as you say, France.
Yeah.
Did your grandmother ever tell you why the grandfather came to Austria from France to live? Never stayed in France?
She never said. Her name was Turk.
Turk. Her last name or first name?
Her last name before she married Jordan.
Before she married Jordan. Did she meet him in France or in Austria?
No, in Austria.
In Austria.
He probably was either a soldier, runaway, or you never know.
So then Turk married Jordan.
Yeah.
And that was on your father's side, and then he was a child of the Turk.
And she was telling me that they had a Pariser. That must be wagon from the Paris, and he traveled from different countries with that wagon.
A carriage, huh?
Yeah, real strong.
Yeah.
They call it Pariser. That was a time, when the father was maybe young, when the Marco Polo was traveling like that.
Around the world. Huh?
Yeah, around the world, with the material or something,
yeah.
I don't know.
Spices,
yeah.
Tea,
yeah, from one thing to another.
The Indian.
Well, that's the only thing she told me was that she sell that. The last, she says, when these people cheat your father of the properties and stuff like that, when he was in a service, in the army, see, he probably need the money and he write it to that guy who take a charge over and have
exactly.
him sell this. And he sell a big field for 100 guldenas. So the father had a good time in his service.
Now, was the father married when he went to the service, or he was
single? No, he was single.
He was single.
I wonder sometimes how any woman would marry a man like that. I don't know what she see on him, my mother.
Was he,
He was a spendthrift, and she know it. But she married him anyway.
What year do you figure your father was born?
Sometime like the 17 or something.
1870?
No.
Grandma was born 1897.
Yeah.
How could he have been married?
I was 16 years old when he died. And he was 49 years old.
Yeah, I see.
Yeah. He lived a short life. Actually, 47, he was 47 and mother was 49.
Maybe that's why she married him. Maybe, at that time in Europe, when you were not married by a certain time, it looked like it might be hopeless. And maybe she
Europe, they was strict about stuff like that. Every man have to be 24 or 25 years old to get married, and every girl have to be 21.
Well, they were stricter than they were in the United States then.
Yeah.
Very
strict. Well, that's the way it is. And one thing I remember real good,
yeah.
Because this uncle who was in America, he ran away from home. From
Bosnick.
Ignaz Bosnick ran away when he was 18 without a passport because in the service, you have to go in the army.
Franz Joseph was going to draft him, huh?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And when he was old enough, when he was in America, the government sent grandma a letter that he have to report to a certain place,
Yeah.
They're gonna, see if he is fit for the army.
Yeah.
And she have to tell him that he's not home, that he left.
How did he come to America ever got a passport?
I don't know.
There's probably ways.
Well, you know, there was all kind of, you know, how you, if you read about these slaves, you know, that's how they got this yacht.
I thought maybe you knew, though. You never knew.
No.
No.
I know that because my grandmother, they punished her that she had to go in jail for 1 week.
Because her son was gone?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. They accused her that she gave him the money.
What year then did he come to Cleveland from?
1906, something like that.
And he was avoiding the army when he came?
Yeah.
1906?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so, but by 1910 or 11 or 12, he was already established in Cleveland,
yeah.
And he had a saloon,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And then, you know, since my sister was taken care of already, she was with another aunt. So they picked me.
You were next in line.
Yeah, my mother writes to the uncle, and she tell him, you know, that I'm only 15, you know. I couldn't travel, but somehow, you know, he fixed it up here.
I guess you are already.
Yeah.
Did they ask you if you wanted to come, or did they kind of tell you?
Well, you know how, when you're that age,
mm-hmm.
you listen to your parents.
Uh-huh, and your mother said it's probably a good idea if you go.
Well, you know, I was hungry. I'm telling you, when I come from school, I didn't have a piece of bread. I had one potato.
So,
no bread at all.
So when you lived at home, there wasn't enough food at home?
No.
Oh, I see. Even though your father was the police chief, huh?
That's right.
Now, did you tell me at one time that when you were a child at home, you had a problem with asthma?
Yeah.
What happened there? What would happen to you? When you were very little or what?
When I was very little.
Very little?
I had I don't know if it was asthma or what. I had a boy, no, noise in my lungs. You know, when I, like this, because I know, you know, how the kid is foxy when I don't know the lesson in the school. I start the wheeze, and the teacher tell me, marsch out, you know, it was like a German language.
Mm-hmm.
And I gladly marsch out of the room, because I don't know the lesson.
Now, what did you tell me? Do I remember that you told me that when you were at home, they would put your head like into an oven to make it drier or something?
Yeah.
What was that?
Well, that was they believed in a certain thing.
But, I mean, what was it described as?
Grandmother.
Yeah, what was grandmother's theory? What could she do? What did she think you should
do? She says that they should put me, wrap me in a blanket, in a coat, actually, what they had it. And put me in a wooden little thing what they had it for baby to give them a bed. It was made out of the big wood. And taking a dig out enough to put a water in, a newborn baby used that
some sort of tub.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, something like that. And they says, they lay me over there. I was maybe about 5 years old. And after she gonna take a bread out, when the stove was real hot, they should stick me in it and shut the door, you know. When they was counting the minutes. And then they pulled me out.
Weren't you, go ahead.
Well, and I was wheezing just as
weren't
bad as
before. Weren't you frightened?
Before.
It must have been terrible.
I was, well, you trust your mother.
Yeah.
That's the way it is.
They could have cooked you.
I know it. They could burn me too.
So you had problems like this. Now, did your mother maybe think that letting you come to America, maybe you'd be
sheltered?
Yeah,
she did
child.
Say. She was very happy, you know, for me to go. And Uncle said, she kind of excused me because I was kind of puny, you know.
Uh-huh.
I didn't grow good like the rest of them. I was behind a little bit. And, she helped me many times, you know, to carry something when I wheeze too loud. And that when Uncle says, she says, just send her here. Here she gonna have a white bread every day. Oh, I hardly wait. You know, so happy I was to go.
In your father's house, you what, slept upstairs? They had a loft or something?
No. When I come to Uncle, the first day my father put me in the train, and she gave me the address. And she says, don't show this to nobody, because sometimes the little girls, they take them away someplace. She didn't explain nothing else, only that I didn't show nobody except a policeman or a priest.
Yeah. See? You rode the train to what city then?
To France.
Oh, to France?
Yeah.
And you caught the boat in France?
Yeah.
Do you remember the name of the boat?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it was Chicago, but I'm not sure.
Okay. And then from France you went to New York. Did you go through Ellis Island?
Yeah.
What was it like on the boat, being a young girl? How old? 15 years old?
Yeah.
Okay, first of all, what was it like on the train when you looked at your mother? Did your mother go to the station with you?
No.
Or your father?
My father.
Just your father.
And mother didn't do nothing, you know. That time, you know what, I don't understand that, you know. I know after when I grow up a little bit, how much she must be hurt, you know, to let me go. When she know that she'll never see me again.
Well, how many children were there in the house already when they were letting you go?
About eight.
And like you say, then your mother had to, what, give you a suitcase or something?
No, I had a big hanky like a lumberjack got it. Mm-hmm. Big hanky, and she put it in one sausage, you know, somebody, butter we call it. You know, they take you to church when you're baby. Well, that man gave me one sausage, like meat one, like a pork, to take it to my uncle.
Oh, not to eat, but to take it to
your
uncle.
Take it to my uncle from Europe. And my mother gave me little piece of bread that she baked right on top of the oven. She didn't make it a big fire.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't salty at all. And I couldn't understand how that she didn't sell it. And I think she forgot.
She was probably so upset.
Yeah.
You were leaving.
And she gave me the rosary with one of those big white ones, you know. And she tell me, she says, you have to see that you're going to be good, that you're going to be kusishika, that you're going to obey the uncle and aunt in America, and never forget God and me here. Jesus, that's all it was. That's all she said.
And so then your father took you to the train station?
No. Yeah, to the train station, and we went to Ljubljana, the capital city. And there he got the paper, the passport. And one lady...
Where do you imagine they got the money? Did your uncle send the money for you to come to them and say,
yeah.
Obviously money was not plentiful.
Oh no, he sent it.
Yeah.
He sent it there. Yeah.
He sent the money with the idea that he would have you then here to help him.
Yes. I didn't have no problem, you know. When I go through that Ellis Island,
yes.
You know, there, I had a $10 bill. And that $10, I put it in every counter, you know, what is, when they stop you, you know. They stop you that the doctor look you over.
Mm-hmm.
They don't pay much attention to me at all. But
you don't remember the date you went through Ellis Island, do you?
No, it must be, I left May something in Europe. That was right after the Titanic sunk. And the kids tried to scare me. You're gonna go in a boat, you know, the kids, you know, said, I wouldn't go, you know, for nothing.
These were your friends or your brothers?
Yeah, my friends from school.
Yeah,
you know, I was a school girl.
Well, what was it like on the boat? Because how many, you must have been on the boat quite a long time.
13 days.
Okay, so what does a young girl, first of all, traveling from your country to France, certainly you spent at least a couple of days and a night on the train,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we did.
And how did you know when to get off the train?
Well, you're with the crowd.
I see. The group of people that were gone.
Yeah, everybody, with a certain passport, they put it together.
So you were with a group of people?
Yeah.
Were you one of the youngest traveling alone?
Yes. No, the youngest, because the woman I could travel with, she had a two baby.
Yeah, I see. And you kind of helped her? Was that the idea? You helped her and she...
I helped her, yeah.
Oh, I see.
You know that that boy was going to be a priest?
Really? One of the children?
One of the... That boy's saying what I take care of.
Yeah? All right. So you, did your mother make this arrangement before you got just when you got to the train station, this kind of all fell into
all
place?
My father only here in Cleveland. One woman asked, you know, she gave an address that she's going to go to Cleveland. And my father stepped to her and she says, would you mind if my daughter could go with you, like travel with you in a way, you know, to come to America? And that's how I stick with that lady.
So that was so very lucky that someone else was going to Cleveland
But when we come to Cleveland, you know, when the train come to Cleveland, I still hear my father warned me to no show no address to no one. And I was left there in a station. It was down there someplace in Cleveland that you have to walk down. And all, everybody, you know, when this lady went travel with, her husband was waiting for her, you know, there in Cleveland. Their name was Gabrielle Roos. I still remember. And, well, that's how I come to Cleveland. And it was a beautiful sight because it was night. You know how many lights it's in a Cleveland city?
We're talking about Cleveland, Ohio, right?
Yeah, Cleveland, Ohio. It was beautiful sight, you know, to look at. And scary, too.
Well, sure, such a young person.
Yeah.
Tell me, getting down to the boat, though. What was it like for such a young person? I mean,
and
how,
and
did
the
you
boat,
sleep
you know,
on the boat? Where did you eat? How did you eat?
They just had a, you know, they I didn't have a bed. There was a stairway to go upstairs in a bedroom. Mm-hmm. Toilets was above me. Mm-hmm. And the stairway was open stairway. There was no behind anything.
Yeah.
So when they scrub upstairs, the thing ran on me in my bed.
Oh,
you probably had a bunk type thing, huh?
Yeah, like a sheet.
Yeah.
That's the kind of a bed, you know, that you swing it around.
Like a hammock.
Yeah.
And it was under the stairwell.
Under the stairway
and
when you go up.
Like you say, you got everything that came flowing down the stairs. Then.
Yeah, everything. But I wasn't sick, you know. They were surprised, you know, the rest of our people, because they got so sick. We was down the bottom, you know, on the boat.
Mm-hmm. Steerage then.
Yeah, on the bottom.
At the very bottom, yeah.
Yeah, there was no floor. It was a cement, actually, where we were. And they had a big, long table with a little thing, like a board up, so the plate didn't fall off, you know, when the boat rocked. I wasn't like a seasick. Only one day, when they called, some sailor come downstairs. Down and call us, you know. We all have to report up to the captain. And I tell him I couldn't, you know, go. So he just grabbed me and threw me over his shoulder. And he take me upstairs and put me in the floor right there by the captain. He says, and that's the time, well, they look my address. See?
Well, now, when you were traveling on the boat, were the people in your group way at the bottom there, were you allowed to walk outside anywhere? Do you have to stay where you were the whole morning?
No, we could walk upstairs. A lot of people walk upstairs, you know, to look out.
Mm-hmm.
And when we meet some other boat, they kind of blow the horn, you know, when they look. And we were so happy. You know how happy we all was, you know. They kissed each other over there in a boat, you know, when we see the land, when we come to New York.
What was it like to see the Statue of Liberty?
Beautiful sight.
Did you know what it was?
No.
Had you heard about it before?
No. Yeah, I heard about it, but I didn't know it at all.
Mm-hmm.
You're not interested, you know, when you're 15.
I imagine the people on the boat might have been talking about it.
I said they were talking. And then they was talking, I says, everything what you was wearing all the time. I was wearing in one dress all through the trip.
The whole trip.
Yeah, I didn't ever, I never had nothing to change. And they said, they says, everybody who had a clothes on for this travel, this thing, this days, 13 days, he says, throw it over the board. And not from the big ship, from the little ship, you know, we first was moved to the little ship. And that one, they told us to throw everything. Then I had like an old jacket, you know, and I throw that in the water. I strip myself, my blue dress, and I throw it in the water. And then I had nothing but the white dress. Jesus. And when I look through the, when we come in the train, you know, after we come through the Ellis Island, they give us a box. I think it was one apple in there and one orange and bread. Each passenger got that, like, you know, for lunch or what. And then we went in the train, and the train started, you know, going. And then, like a dumb kid, I stick my head through the window out to look at it. And we was in Paris. And the soot come over me.
Oh, yeah, from the cold air.
Yes. And my dress, white dress, I just put it on. It was all black. So when I come here, you know, my team aunt was so disappointed, I kind of see in her face. The first thing when she see me, I think she was sorry that she ever sent it for me.
Well, when you got to Ellis Island, what happened? Do you remember? What happened to you? What did they tell you?
Yeah, they tell you. They give you through the line, you know.
But at the old train station in downtown Cleveland, I think that just the platforms are left, so that, you know, like you said, they had to wait. You had to walk way down a big flight of stairs.
Yeah.
So your uncle was waiting up at the top on the road.
Yeah, and he sent
this
man.
With the buggy with the fringe around the top.
Yes.
And this man came down looking for a little girl.
Yeah.
But he would know this little girl was the one because she would have the address of the uncle.
Yeah.
And because your father said never to talk to anyone but a priest or a policeman.
Yeah.
You weren't about to talk to this strange man and tell him
no.
What address you wanted to go to. How did he finally find out?
I find him, this, you know. Then he went up, you know, he crawled
gave up
there.
On you then, huh?
And I see, you know, that somebody is on the top of the hill.
Yeah.
And I hear, you know, when my uncle started to talk to him, he says, I don't know what happened to that girl. He says, I went all around the station. Only one little kid is standing over there, and she won't say nothing. And I asked her all kind of questions.
He used different languages, and you answered nothing.
No, nothing, because, you know, he had a hat like a priest, but his clothes didn't match.
Okay, so he looked like he was probably
like a crook.
Suspicious, yeah.
Yeah, very, I was very suspicious. And then my uncle kind of started to holler on him. And he started to walk, you know, my uncle started to walk down, and I meet him in the middle, like, you know, and I started to walk towards him. I says, well, this is in a street, you know, in Slovenia. And then he says, you know, so he embraced me, you know, and then his Pieta was sitting in a buggy in the back. The uncle and this guy was in the front
right.
seat, and it's in that buggy. Jesus, and when I come over there, I got so scared that Tieta was very busting.
Big busting lady.
Big busting lady with the big head, with the big feather. And that feather was going my head, like, you know.
So in other words, the feather was so long that it
yeah.
hit the top of your head while you were sitting in the buggy, a little
yeah.
smaller than she was.
And when I tried to look her up in the face, you know,
yeah.
I couldn't. She was so busted, and I was so small.
There was so much of her, you couldn't see over her,
nothing.
Right?
And she didn't say, you know, hardly nothing, but I just look around, you know, so many lights it was, you know, when we drive home.
It was dark.
And their saloon was right in the front of the, I don't know what they call it, a shop, where they make the train.
Foundry, wasn't it?
They
steel foundry.
Yeah.
And it was right on Union, wasn't it?
No, it was right in Etna, you know.
On Etna?
An uncle saloon was right in Etna. That factory was right in front.
Yeah, and it wasn't the saloon on the corner of Etna and 79th or 80 or something?
Yeah,
80. 80th and Etna.
Yeah, in Etna, see.
And the foundry was right next door, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I forget already what it was called.
What was the name of the saloon?
Well, that's what I'm trying to remember.
Was it a saloon and a boarding house or just a saloon?
Oh, this was a saloon. And he had two people renting the part of it, you know.
Didn't he live upstairs?
No, the time when I come, you know, he lived downstairs, and upstairs he had two families, Mr. Lagan, and Stavik.
The Lagan and Stavik were living upstairs?
Were living upstairs. It was a four-family house, you know, big thing.
And they lived in the back?
We live in the back. He had they had a one bedroom and a big room for the special guests, you know, when the policeman come there.
A guest room,
like, yeah. That's the one I have to scrub, like, every so often. And next to the, and it was a big place, you know, big rooms. It was a little room there, and they told me, after when they gave me to eat and I couldn't eat, I was crying all the while.
I mean, when did you start crying? When you got there or what?
When I got there, because I got scared to death that maybe they're not my people anyway. You know, because they had this tall fence. You know, that you could put a wagon, you go in. And they closed that. And you don't see nothing.
Like
only the sky. So I once, you know, they think, you know, they like you would come in jail or something. I feel a little better when they open a door, you know, and they had a lighted thing, and I think she had a stake or something, you know, to give it to me, and I just keep on crying, and I was all upset, you know, and all dirty. My dress was all black and everything. So they told me, the uncle, you know, says, you just go to bed, you know. And they told me that where to go. The bed was in it, just a bed. And I don't know how long I must sleep. I think the uncle was up already, and he had a saloon was already, you know, and they had an old man there. But he kind of was a helper to the saloon. He cleaned the saloon. They had a like little creek by the bar, so the man could spit in it and throw the chewed tobacco in it.
You mean like a trough?
Yes, yeah. No saloon got today that kind of thing like that.
Gross.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a spittoon, it was an actual trough.
Yes. And the water was running all the time, you know, by there. See? And in the morning when I wake up, I didn't hear no theater. Theater didn't sleep in the morning. But uncle come in the kitchen, and he bring two baskets like that, big basket, full of bread, and some. Like a small things with the seeds on it, you know.
Like groschen or rolls or something?
Yeah. And he says to me, he says, now go and eat. And I try to be nice and, you know, that I shouldn't eat so much, you know, what they're going to say if I'm going to eat all this, you know.
Yeah, they say you didn't mind.
But I try to slice it by slice, little piece. I says, only one this is going to be. I'm going to eat it. That's enough. No. My stomach was craving for those things. So I sliced it a little bit, and pretty soon I was so ashamed the loaf went. I actually eat it all.
You're hungry.
And I was afraid what they're going to say, you know, that how this thing going to work, because they're supposed to feed me every day. That was my first day. And then I look a little bit around, you know, what kind of a room it is, because I see better class rooms, you know, back home, and especially in Ljubljana, you know. And that's all it was, nothing else. It was just a bed was over there. I think she had some kind of a curtain over the one window, and then I see there was a kwasa, you know, for the grass to cut, and a saddle for the horse. And this kind of a farmer's tools was in my bedroom.
Sounds like a
storeroom.
Storeroom, really.
Yeah, that's right. That's
off the garage, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't have my own room.
Was it in the actual house or off the side of the house or what?
No, it was right from the, like a
from the garage?
Guest room. See, the guest room was with the table, you know, the people from there. And then was a little room right from that room, you know. And that was my first day that I ate whole loaf.
So what did they do now? You hear you have this dirty white dress. So what did they tell you? Did you put it on or what?
Well, the next day, Tieta took me to a store, to Sam Stern's store in Cleveland.
Downtown Cleveland?
Yeah, Newburgh.
Newburgh?
Yeah, Newburgh. And she buy material, and she had a woman make me a dress.
Well, she didn't make a
couple
it,
dresses.
Yeah.
No, we had some people who come from Europe, you know, seamstress.
Yeah.
She just gave her material and she make a dress.
The Bosniaks were pretty well to do, huh?
They look that way, you know, to me anyway.
Uh-huh.
But there was, Tieta didn't care about stuff like that. I didn't have another one spittoon in a room, you know, where the people come. Nothing. But Mrs. Lagan had it. You look good. And you could put it over your ears, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it
was pretty good.
Yeah. And which one will go with it? Yeah, that's right. See, they got a... Is this the one?
Yeah. The colors.
Look pretty sharp, huh?
Well, when you walk, I think
it
would, you know, it's just like it for shopping.
I see the gold, rust. White. Okay, so now did the Bosniaks have any children of their own?
No. Well, everybody, you know, my neighbors like that, you know, they says, you're such a lucky girl. She says, you're going to be rich one day. See, and it didn't turn out at all like that. I actually didn't get nothing.
Well, now, your aunt, Tessa,
yeah.
Did she come from the Cleveland area, or did she come from Yugoslavia?
Yeah, from the same,
Austria,
from same place, yeah, close by.
From Austria?
Yeah, from Austria.
So she met your uncle
over
in
here.
The United States?
Yeah.
Because apparently, this was a community where there were many people from...
All the, you don't hear no English language there.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't learn to speak English, nothing since when I was there.
Not at all there.
No.
They spoke all Slovenian.
All Slovenian,
right?
Yeah. Only the uncle speak English because encounter business, you know.
Yeah.
Those workers come in the saloon every day. I don't know.
From the foundry, probably.
Well,
yeah.
Now, okay, so like you said, you had your first breakfast and they bought the material for some clothes for you.
Yeah.
Then what happened next that you remember?
Well, then pretty soon I find out, you know, that Tieta wasn't too crazy about me.
What made you think that?
Well, by the little things, you know, the kid kind of feel it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't feel it that she liked me, because she didn't talk like much to me at all.
She was just kind of putting up with you.
Yeah. And when the uncle tried to, she got mad at him. Because I know that once he feel pretty good and he want to buy me.